Hey folks, you're listening to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, and I have another classic series here. This one is with Detective Eric McCants, episode 82.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, folks, this is Dr. Donnie, and I am telling you, I'm excited that the Get Balanced Podcast has an official sponsor, and I want to tell you a little bit about that. And it is FirstNet, built with the AT&T. And what I want to tell you about them is probably part of it is that many of you already know this, but for first responders and frontline workers, communication, as we know, is not a luxury, but it's a lifesaver. And that's why FirstNet, built with AT&T, was created. Now, the FirstNet mission is to make communication faster, safer, and more collaborative for first responders and other public safety personnel. FirstNet helps first responders and frontline workers connect when they are on and off duty. They get access to priority and preemption capabilities. This means they connect to the network first. In emergency situations, first responders move to the front of the line to access critical bandwidth they need to send and receive, whether it's voice, data, video, images, and text. Now, during an emergency, FirstNet is a critical connection between first responders to technology and also to each other, giving them access to information quickly and when every second counts. With FirstNet, first responders and frontline workers get a highly secure, reliable network with 24/7, 365 customer care and monitoring. Now, to get more information about FirstNet, go visit your local AT&T store or visit firstnet.com. I met Eric actually online on LinkedIn. I started noticing several posts that he was putting out there and things like that. And then I found them very interesting because it was just not posts on law enforcement, but also these posts about leadership and the community and some of the things that we're experiencing today in the communities and all of that. And I found it to be very much on a leadership side. And then I thought, well, let me go check out this guy. And I went over to his sort of his homepage on LinkedIn. And Eric, I saw a picture of you in your uniform. And then I saw this beautiful family standing behind you there. And I think I mentioned that to you when I asked you to connect on LinkedIn. I said, your family picture caught my attention.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to, share with the listeners here is that you had that family connection and things like that. But what I'd like to do is I'll turn it over to you and tell us a little bit about your work. You know, what all are you involved in? Because I believe you're down there in sort of Burke County's around that Augusta, Georgia area. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What all hats do you wear? What's work been like and how are things going?
Work's been pretty good. Like I said, I work on a night shift patrol. And basically, we do what calls the service. So when anything happens and law enforcement is needed, that's what we respond to. I said, we'll go from anything from unlocking car doors to changing tires to bringing up domestics to having to take people to jail. So, I mean, we wear many hats throughout the night. Most of the calls are not what you see on TV. You're not, running and gunning. Some of the stuff is just taking time talking to people. Like I say, well, I'm finding out a lot more is that a lot of people are going through a lot of mental situations and a lot of people that are not getting treated correctly for it. And like I say, we're really in between that and them being taken to jail. And sometimes you got to make a determination of whether they need to go to jail or do they need more like mental evaluations to see what's going on. Also, we're also going to people parties, but I say right now with the COVID thing, it's messed up a lot of things. And one thing that my sheriff's done is like say a little kid has a birthday party or an older senior person has a birthday party. We might not go to the actual birthday party, but he'll send a fleet of cars there with the lights and sirens on just to give them a little experience of a birthday party that they couldn't have this year. So just little small things like that is what we're trying to do and help build that gap, bridge that gap between law enforcement and the community that we have going on right now.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And tell me a little bit. Now, I saw also a member of the SWAT team. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And then from a work perspective,
Well, let me switch over to your family perspective. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, like I said, me and my wife have been together for right about 8 years. Like I say, she's basically helped me stay together. Like I say, but she knows how I am. She knows that at times when something's going wrong, I'm just going to be quiet. And she knows how to get things out of me. Like I say, we have 5 kids together. I say they're all joy to be around. Many different personalities up and down. But as far as law enforcement, that's one big piece that you need. But like I say, one thing about law enforcement, we tend to hang with only police officers. And you need somebody that's different. And she's different. Like I say, she's a manager of a food industry. And like I say, some of the problems I deal with, she deals with too. But then she brings a different approach to things on how to handle situations. And like I say, we've made it work over years. I'm not going to say that we had the easiest time, but we made it work for what we got. And like I say, she's been the rock to my family. Like I say, anytime something goes wrong, yeah, she might fuss and fight with me. But at the end of the day, she's going to be what's going to balance me and keep me going.
Oh, well, that is great to hear. And then what are the age ranges of your children?
All right, we have a 19-year-old, we have a 16-year-old, and we have a 7 and a 6, and then we have a 3-year-old.
Busy man. And yes, mom. All right. One of the things that in my, you know, with the Get Balanced program, of course, talking about work-life balance is that I like to sort of throw out how I define work-life balance. And essentially for me and what I teach is that work-life balance is about aligning your day-to-day behaviors with your priorities in life. And my research with this concept of work-life balance is what I found is that people that are very balanced have this strong desire to manage their self-care very, very well. And what I mean by self-care is that sort of, you know, our physical, our diet, our exercise, sleep, which I know is often a problem, but then our emotional, our social side, our spiritual side. But if you would talk a little bit about, because I believe I saw in your background there is that a 5th degree black belt.
Yes, sir.
And that you just don't get that by attending a few lessons, do you?
No, sir. No. It took a while to get that black belt. Yes, sir.
I bet. Well, so how long have you been doing that and what is it in?
I started when I was about 16, I'll say, but it took over a course of 8 years to get the black belt. Like I say, he's in American karate. Like I say, my cousin who has a school in Augusta, he's been teaching karate for about 20 years. Like I say, I've learned under him, my uncle who passed away. And like I say, before I became a police officer and right after I got out of high school, for about 3 years, I just trained nonstop. Like I say, all we did was we trained at school, we go to tournaments. Like I say, we basically live karate. Like I say, that's what we did. And like I say, it was beatings getting in there, a lot of whoopings, you know. Like I say, but it also taught me a lot about being focused and having discipline. Like I said, man, some of the stuff we went through to get those black belts, it was strenuous stuff. But once you get that black belt, it's a huge accomplishment. And like I say, it takes a lot to get it. But once you get it, I mean, it's something that you hold on to for the rest of your life.
Oh, yes. And I imagine you and many are very, very proud of that. And because if you think about it, the black belt or any martial arts, it's just not the physical piece of it. I'm sure there's a lot of it, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Mind over matter, trying to push through it. But like I say, at times, like my uncle and him used to tell me, like I say, you might be tired, but your body still can work. And I say, you just got to keep pushing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your work-life balance. Let's focus on, at first, what's going right in your life regarding work-life balance?
Well, like I said, I'm able to come home and basically decompress from what's going on at work. I'm able to talk to my wife about most of the stuff that's going on at work. Like I say, I have a good relationship with my kids. Like I say, we try to go outside, go to the parks, you know. But at one time, like I say, between work life and all that stuff, I used to be just focused on police stuff. Like I say, I used to watch live PD all the time, Law and Order. It was just police. But I'm learning that's not the way to be. Like I say, once I'm off work, I need to be off work. So spending time with my family, I enjoy grilling. I enjoy doing a lot of other activities. So doing that stuff when I'm off work is actually helping me keeping work from home. And I say sometimes we tend to bring the job home and that could be disastrous at times if you don't know how to stop it. Yeah.
Can you tell us about a time when you felt like maybe you were out of balance with your work and life in your career?
Oh yeah, like I said, it was a couple years ago. I was working at the Board of Education. And like I say, basically I worked with kids at in the high school, but we used to get paid once a month. And like I said, it was kind of like tight on the budget, and I used to work specials constantly. Like, time I got off work, I go to a special to make a little extra money, and then I try to get another special. And basically, I was working two specials after work, having maybe 4 hours of sleep, and trying to get back up in the morning. And like I said, I was about to burn myself out completely. Like I said, I was just trying to make things happen financially. And like I said, it was becoming a burden. And like I said, I know some people get paid once a month, but for most police officers, you get paid once a week or either bi-weekly. And like I said, once I started getting paid once a month, it was a little different. Like I said, one thing about me, I like to eat. So I said, I'm going to spend some money on food. And I had to learn how to budget and balance between, you know, food, home, bills, and all that stuff. But working them different specials, once I get off my real job, it was burning me completely out. My wife told me, she's like, you want to slow down? Like I said, you're just not going to be any good to anybody working so many jobs, you know, trying to make just extra money and to save up. So that was one time when I just felt like I was out of it.
Yeah. Did you listen to your wife?
Yes, I did. I did.
You did? Okay. Is that one of the secrets of marriage?
That's the best secret. I say, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Going back to sort of like when you first started, and you know, if you take a look at sort of the first 5 years of law enforcement, at first you mentioned that, you know, it's about the work and the money and things like that. Have you seen your priorities, you know, change a little bit as you're sort of getting more into your career?
Yes, sir. I would say at first, like I said, I started off when I was 20. So basically, and I was quickly introduced to a specialized division. And so I was just running and gunning. Basically, all I thought about was, you know, hey, we got to make this race. We got to put people in jail. It really wasn't even talking. Like I said, you didn't even think about building rapport with people. It was like, hey, you do this, you do what you have to do, or either you go to jail. I say over the course of my career, I learned more. Certain situations, you could just talk people down. Sometimes jail's not always the answer. A citation's not always the answer. Sometimes people just need to talk. And many times we're dealing with people at the worst point of their life. And sometimes just having somebody that could talk to them, understand what they're going through, tell them steps that what they need to do to correct what's happening will help. And then, like I said, my sheriff always pushed me towards leadership. Like I said, I've always been one that likes to work, get out there, but learn how to teach others is something I'm starting to enjoy more. Just teach others some stuff I went through so they don't have to go through it. Like I said, it's certain things I went through in my career when I was younger. Now, if I could teach somebody that's in their career as a young age, that maybe they won't have to experience it. And hopefully that will help them push their career a little bit further than what mine is. Like I say, just understanding, you know, that, you know, everything has to be taken basically with a grain of salt. I say, we have people that fuss and fight with us all the time. And most time they don't mean to. It's just they're in the heat of the moment. We're coming in there and we're trying to bring order to a chaotic situation. And then things go from there. And at times, you just got to understand, well, hey, they didn't mean to. Just certain things going on. You got to talk to them, let them know, hey, you can't do this anymore. Just calm down. So it's more about building rapport with people now than just, you know, tickets and taking people to jail now.
Yes. And I like that piece where you talked about for the younger people on the job that you're teaching them and you're enjoying that role. And how about have you experienced during your time? Because I think, you know, you have a good grasp of work-life balance, and that's part of the story that I want to talk about. But do you ever get a chance to teach some of the younger deputies about, hey, it's work, you know, we have to protect ourselves and do our best out here in the community at work, but let's not forget that ourselves and our families are also a part of that community, and we need to, you know, take care of ourselves too. Do you ever get a chance to teach them about that?
Well, every so often, like I said, when we're passing by or we're talking, like during our meet and stuff, I'll just ask about how's your family, you know, what you do on your weekend off, just little small things. Remember to keep your family, you know, in your thoughts. It's not always about work. Just mention to them that, hey, pay attention to people at home. Like I said, they're going to be the ones that's going to be there for you no matter what. You got to make sure that you keep your family first. Like I said, you got to understand that part. And while, you know, I know how it is being young, like I say, you want to be the best at what you do. And I say, when you're at work, you want to run the gun. But even throughout the night, if something goes on, and you have a problem, something's, you know, bothering you mentally, just call your wife, or if you don't have a wife, call your mom or something like that. Just let them know what's going on. Maybe talk to them or somebody that can help you find balance in what's going on. Like I say, that key part right there is going to help keep you when things get extremely tough in this job, and which they will. It happens to everybody. You're going to need that one person that you can talk to, and that's why it's important to have good family and good friends. and definitely have people outside of law enforcement. Because one thing I've learned is that when we have people inside law enforcement, now your friends and basically family, we're all going to think basically the same way. Hey, we all have the same answer. We all do things basically the same way. We're all methodical. We all feel like, hey, maybe this person went to jail. Maybe this person got a ticket. Or basically we just disowned the whole thought process at that. But if somebody that's not in law enforcement, maybe they'll talk it out a little bit better, give you a different perspective of what can happen or what you can do to make things better.
Yeah. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Talk to me a little bit about sort of your guiding principles in life. You know, what are they and where did they come from?
Well, like I said, my uncle, who was one that taught me karate, he was also an archbishop. And like I said, he used to teach me and my cousin. Like I said, we was out of control kind of when we was younger. But he's always told us, he said, man, hey, anything that happened after 12, what can happen before, make sure you're on time. And that's one thing I always learned about. I tell people, no matter what, be early. I say that's just something that people remember. Like I say, I like to come to work about 45 minutes early just to get paperwork done, make sure everything's set for the people that's going to be out there working, have things in place. One thing about it is time management. People remember if you are able to keep time. Like I said, I talked to my wife just a couple of days ago, and you know, she's a manager, and she was doing an interview for somebody. And the girl was supposed to be at the interview at 3:30. She didn't show up at 3:35. And my wife said, well, she didn't want to meet with her because she said, if she can't have time management coming for an interview, what's she going to do when she comes to the job? So it's just little simple things like that, I like to say. And also, always about, you know, being able to talk to people. Like I said, building rapport with people has been very important. My sheriff was real big on that. Like I said, he taught me in the academy. He always said, hey, well, yeah, you could be, you know, strong and be able to take people down physically. Be able to talk people down is a lot better, a lot easier. And I say it's a skill that many people don't have. And I say at first in my career, I didn't have it. You know, I went to a couple classes called verbal judo, basically learn how to tell people how to deflect answers, basically to get people to calm down when they're upset. So building rapport is another thing, along with keeping your time together and all that. And also, like I say, family. I say I have a relatively big family. We're really close. Like I said, we all live within maybe 10 miles of each other. We all used to hang around each other. Like I say, just recently, about 5 years ago, my grandfather passed away. And basically, he was the one that, you know, kept the family together. If we needed something, we went to him. And like I said, he was in the Army for like 30 years. But once he passed away, I found out exactly how organized he was. And I started picking up little small tips from him. Basically, he wrote everything down from passwords to bank numbers and all that. He had all written down in a big notebook. Like I said, he knew what was going where. And another thing that was important to me was that he took out basically life insurance policies on everybody. So once we got to a certain age, we can get it. It had money value to it, and we need to spend it, or we can keep paying on it. And that was something I never knew about until after he passed away, and then my grandmother passed it out to us. Like I said, it was just little small things like that that I remember that stuck with me. That's why I'm trying to get life insurance policies on all my kids. So once they turn 18 or 21, yeah, at least have some type of money, you know, to help them navigate life. Because without money, it's kind of hard life to get through.
Yes. Yeah. And time management, I heard you mention that in there. And looking at, besides you being a patrol sergeant and SWAT team member, you were also, you finished your bachelor's degree and finished your master's degree. So there had to be some skill of time management in working. I imagine you did that while you were working. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Well, like I said, I went to school a little bit right after high school. Like I said, I was 17. It was just too much for me. Just too much partying, too much fun. Like I said, I've never been out on my own before, so it was just a long experience. So, like I said, between my sheriff and there was another chief that I had named Charles Prescott, they told me, they're like, hey, you need to get back in school. Go ahead and finish your degree. I was like, okay. You know, I played around with it for a couple of weeks. And I was working out of college then, and they were like, hey, you can go take online classes, work on your degree. So eventually I listened to what they said, and then I talked to my brother, who's a double English major, and he said, hey, go ahead and finish your degree. We can get this done. So I went through my bachelor process. Like I say, when I was at work and I had downtime, I was writing papers, writing journals, doing research, knew what I needed to do, and then eventually I got my bachelor's. Yeah, I thought about it. I was like, hey, go ahead and try to get your master's. Your master's not going to be a long program. It's going to be in criminal justice, something you know, something that you can work on easily. Like I say, doing the process of my job, like I say, when I had downtime, I was basically writing papers, using some experience that I have at work to complete my degree. And like I say, it took time. Like I say, I'm not going to say that. And like I say, one thing about me, I learned about procrastinating and not procrastinating. But I was a big procrastinator at first. That's one thing I did. I used to wait till the last minute, but then I learned. I say, if you go ahead and start early and go ahead and finish out the way, You don't have to worry about it for the rest of the week. You have other things you can do. So, yeah, school was a big part of it. Like I say, I'm trying to consider if I want to go back to school or not. Some people tell me I should try to get a doctorate. I just don't know. Like I said, I don't want to give another 3 years to or 4 years more to education. But we'll see what happens in the next coming, couple years.
Well, speaking from experience, it continues to get easier.
Does it? Okay.
It does. It really does. Yeah, I got my doctorate a year and a half ago. And thoroughly enjoyed the journey the whole time. I had to take a break in between starting, and then it took a number of years, but thoroughly enjoyed it. And I found that it just seems to get easier, especially you know how to do it. You know how to write, you know how to study, you know how to read, you know how to research, and it does. But so I encourage you to continue to think about that. Hey, let's talk a little bit about what are your priorities today, if you think about it. You have the big family and all that. You have your work. When you think about your priorities today, what do you keep your eye on? What do you keep looking at? Make sure you're doing okay.
Make sure that I'm a good husband and a good father to my kids. That's one thing. Like I say, in law enforcement, like I say, families, we have a high divorce rate. It's just because of the tolls of the job. And like I say, many people turn to alcohol or other things as a form of coping with stuff that goes on at work. Just knowing that keeping my family first and be able to talk to my wife about certain situations, be able to come home, play with my kids, and not just, tell them I'll play with them later on and never play with them or take them out to do things is one thing that's my very first priority. Second thing is having a good work ethic. Like I say, one thing about me, I go to work, I want to be the best. I say that's how I learn how to do things. If I want to be the best, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to constantly work on my craft. Like I say, I've talked to many instructors in the law enforcement community. Like I say, I always like doing interdiction work, basically just sitting on the side of the highway, picking out people that's involved in illegal activity. I talked to many people, and there's one guy named Dennis Benigo. He's on LinkedIn. He's helped my career tremendously. Like I say, he taught me how to, sharpen my vision, focus on things, and be able to pick out, different vehicles and cars and stuff to help my career go to the next level. But like I say, like last year, I won Special Operation Deputy of the Year. And like I say, with the people that I competed against, it was actually a big deal to me. Like I say, I made some big cases. I'm not going to say I made the best cases, but I made some big cases. And like I say, it helped my career. And that with a combination of getting my master's degrees helped me become focused. So one thing about it, I tell people, I say, hey, go to work and you do the job and you do it the best you can. Like I say, and just keep working at it. Like I said, eventually you're going to get better at it and become better and better. And like I say, that's one thing I always prioritize. And then, like I say, building rapport with people. Like I say, having friends is important these days. Like I say, with so much going on in the world, seeing people get this COVID here and there, people with families breaking up, people with family members dying, you always need somebody that you can talk to. And having a friend there sometimes is all you need. Like I said, it's been a rough year. 2020 has been one of the roughest years I've seen. I said, I'm pretty young. I know people have said they've seen worse years, but just in general, it's been a pretty rough year. And just keeping that friendship, family, and all that stuff together is pretty important in this time.
All right. And when you think about the future, go 3 to 5 years out, maybe 5 years out, things like that. What do you desire for the future? What would you like for that future to be? Even though it sounds like things are going very well right now, but what do you desire for that future, and any advice on how to get there?
My plan is to either go to a state or federal law enforcement agency. Like I said, I've been looking at GBI, FBI, and trying to get myself ready for those. Like I said, that's my next plan, and be able to get in one of those divisions or departments and put like 20 years in the department and maybe retire and try something different. Also, like I said, I want to instruct. Like I said, I've been talking to my sheriff and a couple other people. And right now, like I said, it's kind of hard to do in-person instructing at a college or something like that. But I want to teach on the college level. And like I said, online is probably the way it's going to be right now for a little bit because, a lot of people are not going back to school. But those are my two biggest things right now is to become either a federal or a state employee or a law enforcement officer and to become an instructor. Like I said, that's just one of the things I do. I like teaching people. Like I said, I've done it for a while when I was teaching karate. Like I said, I've had some really great instructors. And like I say, just seeing how they taught people and inspired people to go further, how they kept us laughing but kept us interested in the topic was always important to me. And things like that would help me want to be an instructor. So those two things, and then travel more with my family. Like I said, right now, like I said, we just came back from Florida 3 or 4 weeks ago. And like I said, we enjoyed ourselves. But just maybe travel, see different things with my family, give them different experiences, you know, things like that's what I look forward to in the next 3 to 4 or 5 years.
That's excellent. Let me switch gears on you a little bit here. Is I want to talk about health. And, you know, I believe health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. Mm-hmm. And with that said, and all that you know today about the physical and mental health challenges, you know, your wellness concerns, the toll that law enforcement and even firefighters, EMS, you know, the toll that it takes just doing the job, right, mm-hmm. on physical and mental health. And your family relationships, you know, how important do you think self-care and work-life balance should rank in the overall training of today's law enforcement and first responder?
Well, yeah, being physically in shape is very important in law enforcement. Like I say, it might not happen ever, but it just might be that one night where you're going to have to fight. And like I say, fight for somebody by yourself for 1 minute seems like an eternity until you see them blue lights coming behind you. And like I say, you're gonna have to be able to be in shape to be able to stay in that fight. And like I said, not get overtaken. Like I say, that's one reason why, like I say, being a SWAT member, when I first came on the department, they had people that was on the SWAT team from a previous agency. These guys were in shape, they've been running all that stuff. And like I say, I was bigger at the time. I was about 320 then. I told them I wanted to be on the team. Like I say, we had to do a certain amount of running, push ups and all that stuff. So I knew I had to get myself in shape. So when they ran, I ran. I said, I wasn't on the team yet. I was just basically following them around, trying to get, you know, acclimated to what they're doing. And like I said, over the course of about 2 years, I was able to lose about 50 pounds. I was able to get my run together. And like I said, I was able to try out for the team and eventually make it on a probation status. And that's one thing I've learned about. Like I said, I've always been a pretty big guy. I always liked lifting weights. But cardio was never really important to me. Like I said, mm-hmm. I never liked running. I say, but now I'm learning the importance of it. Like I said, you never know when you have to chase somebody down. Like I say, we're going to have on about an extra 20 or 30 pounds of weight, and you got to be able to tote that with you and go get that person you need to get. So, you know, keeping that in mind and, you know, be able to work out, keep yourself healthy is very important. Like I say, I've seen it many times. You get out here, you never know where you're going to be involved in a mob or something. You're going to have to handle the situation until your backup can come. Like I say, while it might seem like 10 minutes, it might only be 30 seconds to a minute, but you got to do what you got to do until they come. And then also, like I say, you got to mentally prepare yourself for things. Like I say, you never know what's going to happen with being a law enforcement. You never know what you're going to experience, what's going to happen. Like I say, you might go a whole week, months without doing anything strenuous or anything that's going to, you know, best with you mentally. But then at one night, you might have to draw your weapon. You might have to fire at somebody. Like I say, whether you hit them or not, that's going to take a toll on you. You got to be able to have a way to, you know, decompress, talk to people. And not only talk to law enforcement officers, but talk to people that's outside of law enforcement officer that can help give you guidance and help get your mental aspect, I guess, back on track. So just having those little things, you know, can help. Like I say, it's very important. Like I say, you don't want to go to work with attitude. Like I say, you don't want to have a bad day. Like I say, we all have them, but we're not allowed to have bad days because you can't go to our job and just start, you know, cussing people out, want to fight people. It's not going to go over well. Like I say, you're law enforcement, you're there to protect people from things happening. So that's why you got to make sure that you're on point all the time at work. I say, even if you don't feel like it, still got to make it seem that way.
Oh yeah. And the mental health piece of it, how have you found, or what are some of your best practices to decompress, as you mentioned a few times?
Writing was one of my biggest things. Like I say, just like the little statuses on LinkedIn. And when people comment back and give me feedback to it, that helps out a lot. But it lets you know that I'm not the only person going through certain things. I say a lot of people identify with some of the things that we go through, different officers. So I say they're filling in across the country. Also, like I say, talk to my family, let my wife know what's going on, just so she can understand it and she can see how crazy things are. Because a lot of times you see stuff like, say, like on live PD or different stuff, you'd be like, well, stuff like that don't really happen. Until I can come back home and tell you that, hey, stuff like that does happen. And like I say, we see so many different things and, you know, it's some crazy stuff we see. And that can mess with you mentally because you'd be like, man, you know, hopefully everybody's not like this. But most people we encounter are going to have some type of issue going on. You're like, man, it can't be all, everybody can't be like this. So just be able to keep your head on straight through all the stuff that you see and be able to, you know, not bring it home, not let it wear on you is really important. That's why I say it's always good to have somebody you can talk to. I say, whether that's going to be somebody at your job, family member, your church person, a pastor, somebody, somebody that can talk to you, give you a little guidance, help keep your head together. Like I said, it's going to be times when your head's going to be messed up, and you're going to need somebody to calm you down. So that's what the point of having a good person that can help you get back on track mentally is there for.
Yeah. And when you first started that piece on this question, I think you said you like to write about it. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. On like the social media platforms like LinkedIn and things like that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good advice there. And then how are you doing with, you mentioned back when you, before you got with the SWAT, you started running and dropped a bunch of weight and things like that. How are you doing now in your physical activities?
I'm doing really well. Like I said, I go to the gym about 4 or 5 times a week. Like I said, I'm on a good weight program. Like I said, I'm still trying to keep my strength up. But still, like I said, I'm sitting at about 265, 270. Eventually, I want to get down to about 230. But like I told you, what I like to eat. And like I say, that's just one thing about, like I say, just balancing that diet and then being on night shift. It's kind of hard. Like I say, you find what you can eat. Like I say, a lot of stuff starts closing down. You start eating chips and hot dogs at the gas station and all that stuff. So it can be pretty bad, but meal prepping and stuff like that helps out. And just learn to put the fork down, start drinking more liquids and all that stuff. But like I said, I'm doing a lot better. Like I said, I worked on it for a good 2 or 3 years. Like I said, I was able to get to my first goal. And like I said, my next goal is to be able to drop down 230. And like I say, for federal standards, you had to be able to run 1.5 miles in 12 minutes. For a big boy, that's pretty rough. That's pushing. And like I said, I'm already can do my 1.5 miles in about 15 minutes now. So try to get down 12 minutes. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. But yeah, Hopefully once me dropping more weight will help me get a little bit closer to that goal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, when you say you work out 4 or 5 times a week and things like that, do you find that is helpful for part of your emotional stability and mental health and help decompress some of the stressful pieces?
Yeah, lifting weights has always been something like an outlet for me. It's just something about, throwing weight around, feeling the weight on top of me, being able to push it off. Like I said, it helps you mentally, just saying that you can overcome something. So doing that, and like I say, for me, running was a big thing. But like I say, I never like running long distance. Like when I ran my first mile without stopping, it was something big for me. But I've never been able to do that. And then like I say, eventually I was able to run 3 miles straight without stopping. And like I say, you start building more goals. And like I say, it might not seem like much to most people, but for somebody that's never done it, and say it's just those little challenges that you beat that help, build confidence, help you mentally, let you know that you can overcome stuff. You just got to work at it. So, yeah, the gym, and like I say, cardio and stuff has helped me out a lot. And like I say, most of the people that I work with, like I say, they're in the weights, they like running, they like outdoor activities. So we're basically all the same. And times we compete, see who's going to be the strongest, who's going to be the fastest, and stuff like that. And that always helps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's something that I preach about often is this thing called spillover, to where, when we do something in one role in our life, it can spill over into another role, both positive and negative. And with that, like when we say we exercise, it positively often spills over into helping us manage stress better, feel calmer, think clearer, things like that, which is always a great thing, right? And I always encourage people that I coach in my online coaching classes is that, we want to figure out how to increase that positive spillover in our life. And then of course we all, we understand negative spillover usually pretty well. If we have a rough night on the job and we bring that home, that's usually not welcomed very well and doesn't usually, do well for us. So we want to try to decrease that negative spillover. But, so I'm glad to hear about the weight lifting and things like that, because we all need some release, we need something, and that physical exercise, it's just not in our minds that's doing it. It's literally the chemicals our brain releases when we're doing that exercise that helps us cope with that stress and manage that stress appropriately. But I wanted to ask you, we're wrapping up, you're getting close to wrapping up here. Is that what advice do you have about, the whole work-life balance concept for other law enforcement officers and first responders?
Basically, do like I was told to do, just write down a plan of how you want things to happen. Basically, like, you want to go to work, have a good shift, want to be able to come home, maybe talk to the people in your life, let them know what's going on, and just find a way to decompress. You got to find a hobby. I'd say one thing I learned about a lot of law enforcement officers, especially younger ones, we're so into law enforcement that everything we do is law enforcement. Like I say, we buy law enforcement apparel, We get trucks to put law enforcement stickers all over it. We come home and we watch every law enforcement show we can. I say, it's just law enforcement 24/7. I was one of those guys. I say, at times, I'm still like that. Like I say, but it took live PD off, so I can't watch it as much as I want to. But just finding that balance and be able to write it down. Just say you get off, you work 12 hours, you want to come home, you want to sleep six, maybe you want to go to the gym for an hour, you want to talk to your wife, talk to your kids, spend some time with them, maybe take them to the park, take them for walks. If you like fishing, take them fishing, take them hunting. Just have different activities. And then, like I say, do something as a family. And then, like I say, maybe go out to eat. Or if you want to cook, do that for them. Just do little small things to help you, you know, keep track of everything. And not always be, you know, 24/7 law enforcement. Like I say, it can happen easily. I've been there. Like I say, at time, you know, I was a real big fan of Law and Order. Like I say, they're back up to like 22 seasons. I'm pretty sure I watched about almost every episode of theirs. So I understand that part. I've been there. But you just got to be able to find something that's outside of law enforcement to keep your attention. Some people, you know, like motorcycles, they like having cars, you know, like racing cars. You just got to find an outlet. And like I say, for me, I say the gym is one good outlet for me. Talk to my wife is another one. But like I say, I enjoy cooking. So that's another thing. You just got to find those little things that will help you, you know, through this crazy process of life, especially in the time we're going through now in law enforcement, where it seems like a lot of people are now fully with us, but, you know, majority is with us, but media in different places shows they're playing. You can't always watch news, but I say, I know people that watch news 24/7 and they feel like everything that news shows is the truth, and that's how everybody feels about us, which is not, like that stuff. Stuff like that can worry you mentally, so you got to be able to find an outlet, push that stuff aside, talk to somebody, and I say, go fishing or do what you need to do, and, you know, decompress. It's all about, you know, when you're now on a job, leave the job where it's at, and then you come back to it and handle business when you come back.
Yeah. And speaking of the current climate and things like that, what, and you mentioned about the news and things like that, what can the general citizen out there in the communities, how can they help show support for the Blue?
Like I said, just speaking to us, letting us on sound. Like I said, I work in Burke County. And like I said, it's not a large population of people, but we have some of the best citizens across the nation. It's not many times we go out to restaurants, even as a group of law enforcement officers, 5-6 officers, that somebody, you know, will pay for us. We never know who it is. They were like, just thank you for your service, and they'll pay for it. By the time we come to the restaurant, everybody's walking up to us, tell us thank you. Thank you for protecting us. Just small little things like that is what help us. Many times they come up to the sheriff's office and they donate different things to us as far as like drinks, food and stuff for us to eat throughout the shift. I say they really take care of us down there in Burke County. And that's one thing I've been blessed to be part of down there. And just little small things like that from the community, and just let you know that, you know, the officers are appreciated for what they're doing in your community, and you appreciate the work they're doing, and that you're truly behind them is something that's really important to us. Like I say, all we know we're going to say is say thank you, but on the inside, it means a lot to us. It lets us know that we're working for a group of people that truly appreciate what we're doing for them.
Yes. Oh, that is wonderful. Now, I heard you say you were blessed. Can you share with the listeners and me a little bit about what role does spirituality and faith have with you and your family?
It's really important. Like I say, I've been in church most of my life. Like I say, I haven't gone to church as much as I want to lately because of, you know, night shift and all that different stuff. But being spiritual and just understanding that as a higher being that can help guide us is something that's important. Like I say, when you're at my job and you just never know what you're going through, or you're going to, you know, different incidents that just mess with you mentally, you got to have somebody that you can talk to right then and there. And sometimes saying a little quick little prayer helps you. Like I say, you're up to an accident, and let's say it's fatality. It's not something you want to see. You don't see somebody, you know, laying across the street in a body bag, something like that. And sometimes just saying a quick prayer for yourself, but not only for yourself, but for the person and their family, to help them go through these hard times, something that helps. And also, like I say, if you know you're going through a high-risk situation where it might be a chance of you being shot at or having to fight somebody, sometimes saying that little prayer, saying that, hey, praying that everything goes well, nothing happens, and then you just affect the rest without no incident, something like that helps a lot. So being in touch with your spiritual side, just having somebody you can talk to that you know that can help, you know, guide you on what to do in those tense situations is something that's very important. And then also as a family, you know, keep your family safe when you're gone. Like I say, you never know what's going to happen. Just keeping them in good health and all that, and making sure that you can come home safe to them.
Yeah, that is excellent. Now, Eric, what should I ask you that maybe I did not ask you or we did not spend enough time on? Is there anything out in, you know, that you'd like to share or discuss that maybe I just have not asked yet?
Not really. I say, I think we basically cover everything. Just like I say, just point of your whole show about getting balanced for law enforcement, I say, and just first responders in general. I say, we tend to see the ugliest side of people, and we just got to understand that we got to have a balance between everything. I say, yes, sir, time and place for everything. We got to have different people we associate besides people that work in our field. Like I said, at the same time, you're going to think the same. You need somebody that's going to have a different mindset that can help guide you on a better aspect. Like I say, one thing about law enforcement and first responders, we tend to look at the dark side of everything. We're like, all doom and gloom. They're not going to do any better. And say, we tend to look at news and we see what's all going on. We're like, wait, everything's just going straight downhill from here. So just having that balance to understand that, you know, once you're off work, leave everything that's at work. Come home, decompress, do something good for yourself, you know, take yourself out to eat, go run something, just to have that different balance in your life. Like I say, if you're not, you're going to burn yourself out quickly.
Now, that is outstanding. And I really want to, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you coming on to the show. And for all the listeners out there, I'm sure they appreciate it as well, as for being my guest and also for opening up and sharing with our listeners. You know, I really love how you talk about the family. You come home, the one of your methods is talking to your wife, and it sounds like even during shift sometimes something serious happens, you reach out to her and things like that.
She's going to call now.
And that all the time you spend with your family and all of that. But I absolutely, I wish the best for you, and stay safe out there. Keep doing what you're doing, and may God bless you and your family. And I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.